Micah, Monster Hunter Rise has completely consumed my life over the last couple days. I need to admit this. I don't know what to do. It came out for PC a couple days ago, and I have been loving it. It has been a lot of fun.
I've said this for the past many, many, many years of my life. For those of you who don't know the Monster Hunter game series, fantastic.
Real cool. I mean, it's scratching my itch for like a good action RPG I can play with my friends and my love of monsters.
Monsters, kaiju.
Which like Godzilla inspired in the first place.
And so. It's like authentically Japanese.
Yeah.
I've always said the past few years, they need to chuck Godzilla in that game somehow, some way. Imagine that, just because they haven't made a proper Godzilla game where you're fighting Godzilla.
It's all been like monster versus monster. You're talking about like a human or a hunter going up against
like Attack on Titan Godzilla. I don't know, it could be super.
It'd be a step up from the, I mean, by comparison, the monsters in Monster Hunter would be tiny compared to Godzilla. You'd be like hitting him with a hammer on his toe. But
giving him his fingernails a little trim. Yeah.
Do you know, that was a Godzilla game, man. I mean, we've got all the older ones. I don't know why they haven't come out and made a remastered edition for any of those yet, because it would sell.
Surely be popular. Especially with the recent uptake in movies. Surely they know that something like that would do well.
Yeah. Instead, we're just getting all the fan games, which aren't bad, and all the mobile games that I'm still playing.
You're
from
not
time
playing
to time.
Them still.
I opened it up last week.
Oh, my gosh. How are you doing on it?
Man. Yeah, pretty good, actually. Pretty good.
I'm surprised you haven't... Why haven't you deleted it yet?
Because after we watched Gorath...
Yep.
I saw that Maguma...
The walrus.
The walrus kaiju that appears in that for like a minute shows up in the game. I think it's Godzilla Defense Force. So I was like, I just want to open this up and I just want to see if I can find this dude. And I haven't managed to fight him yet. And I kind of just gave up after a couple of minutes, but I'm still playing it, you know?
So you haven't deleted it yet?
No, it's on my phone. I will go back to it. It's fun. What
could I do to get you to delete it?
Why do you want me to delete this game?
Because it's not good.
Yes,
the only thing that's... It's a Godzilla game. The thing that's keeping you playing is a walrus.
No, it's... Yeah, the game's
it's
just like...
It's a walrus.
A paint-by-numbers tower defense game.
Now, a paint-by-numbers Godzilla game... That I'd play.
Okay. But the cool part about this game is that you are able to unlock like card packs. When you complete missions, you get like a pack of cards.
Yeah.
And that's of all the iconic Godzilla monsters and kaiju.
Yeah.
And it's got like pictures of them and shows their first appearance in the Toho movies. So I don't know. I kind of like it.
As an avid Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan.
I'm not an avid
this
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Is scratching
fan.
That itch for you.
Yeah, it's until something better comes along. Please, Toho, if you're hearing this, anyone if you're hearing this, we need a good Godzilla game.
What's that petition side?
Change.org.
Change.
Podzilla's gonna do Godzilla game that both of us have. I mean, you downloaded Unity the other day.
That's it. I'm making a Godzilla game. I'm That's stopping it. The podcast.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
I'll catch you later. On my way to make a Godzilla game. I'll be back in 3 years.
Okay, great. Let's get started then.
Making a Godzilla game is harder than I thought.
Yeah.
I decided to push it back to next year.
Right, and then you'll be gone for three years it'll take you to make a game.
Yeah, so we've got like what 20 something more episodes until then.
Right,
we can still crank them out.
All right, welcome back everyone to Podzilla. This is gonna be a very fun episode because we're once again back talking about back-to-back Americanizations,
our favorite thing in the universe.
And it's not just like Americanizations of movies we watched ages ago. I mean, one of them was starting off with the Americanization of Varan, but we also watched the Americanization of King Kong versus Godzilla, which we just recently watched.
Literally the
about
last episode.
Last episode.
So it's fresh in our minds.
Yeah. But yeah, Americanizations are an interesting thing. Some of them, as we've watched before, have changed up a whole lot.
Yep.
Of like, Adeline characters and scenes like Godzilla King of the Monsters, Adeline, Steve Martin.
Yep.
An American protagonist took us through that whole movie.
And then we've had others like Godzilla Rides Again, which was changed to Godzilla. Not even Godzilla.
Gigantus the Fire Monster.
Gigantus the Fire Monster, which basically just dubbed it over in English.
Took out a few scenes, dubbed it over, rewrote the script pretty much.
But these ones were like all new takes, actually chucking quite a few new stuff in.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start off with the good stuff. I was pleasantly surprised by both of these.
By both? Were you?
Like, in the way that, like, they actually went to some sort of effort to make them their own things.
Yeah, okay, so, like, at least they didn't just dub it over and call it a day.
Yeah. And there was actually enough changes that actually warranted, some of them were warranted. I don't know. Let's talk about it more in depth, because there's a few things I want to pick out, but I guess we'll just start on the first one, which was the Americanization of Ishiro Honda's Varan. Yep. And this Americanization came out in 1962 and was called Varan the Unbelievable.
So it was 4 years after the original.
Was the other one in...
58.
58, there we go. 4 years after the original. And the director for this, Varan the Unbelievable, was Jerry Barowitz?
Jerry A. Barowitz.
Jerry A. Barowitz.
Good last name.
Varan the Unbelievable. What? Micah, what happened in this movie?
So I watched this late at night, so I don't know if it was just me or if this movie was just a little all over the place. Varan told the story, as we know, of three reporters going through the forest and coming across this giant monster, which they did call Varan.
Yeah.
And kind of following that into its end, it's a big... big giant lizard lake monster, which they end up goading out, and it goes into Japan, wreaking havoc. This added on to that in almost the same way that the half-human Americanization did, where the story's still going on in the background, but it shifts the focus onto just a small group of normal English-American characters.
Hmm.
So our main actor in this one, Myron Healy, is playing... I don't know if he's a big actor...
I think he... I don't think he's a massive actor. He was in a few well-known things at the time. And I think he frequented TV shows. So he was a guest star on shows like Perry Mason.
I have no idea what that is.
Old school, popular, like, noir show. So he was just... his face popped up here and there.
He seems like a noir character. So Myron Healy, he's playing Commander James Bradley, which is a classic American name.
James Bradley,
I like it. Him and his wife, Anna, played by Tsuruki Kobayashi.
It's interesting, because his wife in this was Japanese.
Yeah.
And it kind of... it was an interesting dynamic, because it brought him into the story, because I guess he moved to Japan, he met his wife there, and then he just started working in Japan, and he was friends with other people in the cast, or in the story, the Japanese... Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like last time we had Steve Martin coming from a completely different place and inserting himself in this, what's happening with Godzilla. This time we kind of got this guy who's already, like, he's a citizen of Japan. And he's now our protagonist.
Yeah, and Anna's kind of the way they link it to the main Varan story. So two of our three reporters in the original were siblings. And they connected by saying that Anna, back in her college days... was classmates with these two siblings.
I think this is another thing I'm confused about, because I think it referred to them as husband and wife in this.
They weren't husband and wife, were they?
And I think in the original they might have been love interests or siblings.
Now I need to check. So the characters are Paul and Shidori Iso, so they have the same last name.
But I think it's because they're married now.
But they changed the names for the English release.
They're not called what they used to be called. I don't know.
There's some connection there.
Yeah. And the third reporter, who was our comedic relief in the original Varan's, just pretty much been completely cut from this. You see him a few times here and there, but...
So James Bradley is, I don't know why he's called a commander, but he's a scientist working on, I believe it's desalination or unsalination experiments.
What is it? I this whole story, I did not... What is he doing? The whole plot is that he wants to do some sort of experiments with the water... near this native village.
Yeah. So throughout the movie, we see him doing a bunch of water experiments, which is basically him just picking up vials of water and fiddling around with them. It doesn't really explain what he's doing, except that every single experiment he tries fails.
Yeah, he's doing some sort of test, but it's like, for some reason, these tests seem to be really, really important to the point where he's getting the Japanese army involved mm-hmm. and they're sending heaps and heaps of troops to try and back him up.
Now, Varan, who lives in a lake or a river, a body of water in the original, in this movie, they make more of a point of it being a sacred river, a sacred lake. And for some reason, James Bradley just can't change it. He's not changing his lake for any reason whatsoever.
Yeah, and then the natives are just like refusing to leave when he's saying, hey, we've got to test the lake. It might be dangerous for you to be around it. If you evacuate for a bit, we can bring you back later. And they just do not want to leave because it's their sacred ground.
Yeah.
And he cannot go anywhere else and he has to test this lake.
There's like a really little racist, I found it racist it scene
was,
as well.
It was super racist, a lot of, yeah.
Where Anna, his wife, gets word that the American press, oh no, the Japan press, sorry, is, you know, doing him wrong and dishonoring him by saying that he's not letting the natives there do what they want. He's taking over their land. And he remedies this by saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep him safe. We're going to take him into custody while we do our experiments. We're going to hold them away, bar them from going back. And when we know it's safe, then we'll return them. We'll keep him captive until we get the go-ahead for these super important experiments.
Oh,
I don't know.
I mean, not even that. A lot of this was so problematic. Even just how they depicted, like, his wife, Anna. Yes. Just this perfect little Japanese wife who's just writes down everything for him and does everything he asks her to do and is constantly doing, talking about doing cooking and cleaning. Yeah. And
she's basically just, like, the epitome of a servant.
Yeah, totally. It's not good.
I probably liked her the best out of the characters, though, because... As kind of little as her role was, she was at least better than the other characters.
You're not a fan of James Bradley, are you?
No. I have a gripe with him. So in a few scenes, he actually sees Varan.
But you keep saying Varan, Micah.
Oh,
the
sorry.
Thing is, yeah. In this movie, the monster's only ever referred to as Obaki. Like, literally, they do not say Varan once in Varan the...
Varan the Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I can't believe it's Varan.
And it wasn't even Obaki in the original movie. It was Baradagi, the mountain
Baradagi,
god.
That's right. Why was it called Varan in the original?
I think it was Baradagi, but then they coined it Varan. They said another name for it was Varan. They definitely mentioned Varan by name in
but
the original.
But not in this.
In this, he's just Obaki for some reason.
Obaki. In the few scenes with Obaki... where James Bradley sees him or even, like, sees the wreckage or kind that he's caused. He's just the blandest actor. And he doesn't put any emotion into his scenes. Like, he's seeing Varan taking all these tanks. Send word to the US that... the Japan government that Obaki here is destroying all of our troops.
Hey, Anna, wife, just can you take down these notes, okay?
Word for word.
Word for word. Obaki the monster, apostrophe, stop. Obaki has left the lake, apostrophe. You got that apostrophe, right? Okay, and we are continuing on with our water tests. Stop. Make sure that's signed and dated, isn't
signed
it?
Signed and dated.
Make sure that it is, wife. Okay.
All this while Obaki is, like, walking across from them. This is a weird way to go about an Americanization.
It's crazy because... only, I mean, this movie is just over an hour long. It's like an hour 7 minutes.
Yeah, how long was the original? It was an hour and a half?
It was closer to that.
Because, yeah, it was originally three sets of 30-minute
special. It was supposed to be a mini-series that was created into a movie. But Varan the Unbelievable only actually contains 15 minutes of the original Japanese version. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Which... it's crazy that more than 45 minutes of this thing is completely brand new. Is
Jasha, you basically just showed us what those 45 minutes were.
I know, right? I mean, I am kind of impressed. I do commend that this movie for kind of being able to somehow take out all the main characters from the original Varan and insert this completely new story And it kind of works.
Like, it's cohesive enough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the only scenes that I really borrow from the original is Varan. And Varan on his rampage. Yep. And them shooting, like, flares into the sky. Whereas all of this new stuff, we're just following Bradley driving around and doing tests. There's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
I did appreciate as well that they actually gave Varan a reason to be out in this one.
Because he didn't like the tests?
Because this guy's doing tests on his sacred lake, it's killing the fish, and it's disturbing him.
Yeah.
Whereas in the original, Varan, for the first time, just starts rampaging. He just goes on a rampage
and comes out.
There's no real rhyme or reason to it. And it was more of a formulaic story toward... It was very much just Godzilla 2.0, as we talked about, the original Varan.
I think they're bringing in, and I hate to reference, like, every single movie we've talked about so far, they've learned a little bit from Mothra that they've done, where they need to have these monsters have actual reasons for what they're doing.
Yeah. It was interesting to see that, that whoever was involved in making this Americanization actually went to the effort to back up the story and explain things a little better. And I think all these Americanizations do that. They do manage to explain things that were a bit confusing in the originals and just to simplify it, which sometimes is good, sometimes isn't as great.
Yeah. A few last things. So basically all of the characters in the original, they've had like almost all of their scenes cut. There's only brief flashes of them doing certain things like going through the jungle. I don't believe any of them have lines of dialogue. They introduced a couple new characters in the form of Captain Kishi, played by Kiefer Kawada, who's basically just an army soldier. And my favorite character, Matsu, the boy.
Is it Bradley's boy?
No, so played by Derek Shimatsu. He's like a... Oh my gosh, Shimatsu. They gave him his own name.
Ah, Derek Shimatsu's playing Matsu.
Ah, legend. they said that Anna hired him on as a servant for their house.
Really?
Except he never really does anything. And there are a few scenes where Bradley's talking to him, James Bradley, and he's just like, oh boy, I expect when I come back that this canvas is exactly where it's supposed to be. So this dude just basically has two servants and gets everybody to do everything for him.
I assumed it was his son and he was kind of like just like getting his son to do chores. Thing. But it's just
he just has a random kid like an... This is basically Up. Just an old...
This is Up. Varan, the unbelievable. Oh, I did... There's so many scenes that are so stupid in this. I mean, the first time we're introduced to the boy, Matsu, he's wearing this crazy mask.
That's right.
And he kind of scares Bradley. And later on, like a few moments later, Bradley's just outside early in the morning.
That's
and
right.
And another guy with a mask attacks him and starts fighting him.
Yeah.
And then runs off and escapes. And literally the next scene, Anna,
the
Bradley's
next
wife,
it happens
comes
right
out.
After.
The next second, she walks out and he's just like, oh, wonderful morning, isn't it? Or just something. And he just doesn't even reference
she says,
he was just attacked.
What's wrong, dear?
I'm just nervous about these experiments we're doing.
He just completely forgets that he was attacked mere seconds ago.
Yeah, some nice choices in this movie. And like, I don't know if it was just me zoning out. What exactly happened in the latter half of this movie when the armies come and they've started fighting Varan? Does James Bradley do anything from that point on?
Yeah, well, he's literally... Bradley and Anna have to, for some reason, they're in a car for a majority of this near the end, and they're driving around and have to escape or retreat from where they were. And then he actually gets on the phone with someone in the army at
some
the
of
end.
The officials.
And he says, hey, I've got an idea to defeat Varan. I've been using some sort of concentrate. It was what he was using to test the water.
Yeah, he uses his
desalination he's like,
stuff.
Use this chemical, but like, crazy, use the concentrate, just the heaps of this chemical, and that will probably kill Varan. And then it ends up making Varan retreat, and that's that.
Is that what happened in the original?
I think in the original we had...
Because he was eating the flares.
Yeah, in the original there was another weapon that was being used for mining, if you remember, and you had to get it inside.
Yeah, it's an explosive that you dig like a hole and put it inside all the... Yeah.
So it was a special weapon that was kind of talked about from the start, whereas from this, it completely changed how Varan came out initially and how he was destroyed in the end.
Yeah, it still makes sense as a plot and a movie.
Yeah. And to be honest, I do not know. And I was thinking about this after last night. I do not know if it is too much worse than the original. Because the original was just a Godzilla clone.
Yeah.
It had some good moments. I mean, the characters were more likable than this.
The thing we said we liked about it is it was pretty cliche by the books, except for the first third-ish of the movie, the first half, where it's just following those reporters.
Yeah.
So this movie, they took basically all that we liked out of it.
Yeah.
Put it on the back burner and instead chucked in something that was almost cringy enough to be, I don't know, to be...
So bad that it's
amusing.
All right?
Yeah.
Not that it's good, but so bad that it's okay, it's amusing. I mean, I did like the whole testing the water plot for this monster to come out. It was weird, it didn't really make too much sense, but it was different.
Yeah.
And I mean, nothing that this movie did, the other one didn't, but I still like Varan's design. He looked cool.
Varan looks cool.
I remembered how cool he looks. You can 100% tell it's a guy in a suit, but he looks great.
He looks great.
They didn't have him fly in this.
I know.
Which is like Varan's thing.
They added if I'm not mistaken, a few shots of him doing claw attacks.
Yeah, and they actually filmed one of those.
So they still had the suit.
The one bit of Varan that they filmed in this was a new shot of the monster's claw, like digging for someone in a cave.
I remember that scene, yep.
Yeah.
Up against the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the one new scene of Varan that they filmed for this.
It makes you wonder, if they had the whole suit, why not just do a little bit more?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they did have the whole suit. I don't know if
you're just telling me they only had the for this?
It's another Toho suit mystery. I just have a few quick bits of trivia here if we wanted to...
Yeah, go into it.
Kind of wrap up Varan. The American scenes, or majority of this movie, was shot just outside of Los Angeles. And interestingly... This bothered Myron Healy, the main character who played Bradley.
Really?
Because he thought this would just be like what Raymond Burr, who played Steve Martin in King of the Monsters films, which was for a real short period of time, mostly on a soundstage.
Yeah.
And he, was upset that he actually had to go out and be on location and doing shoots and being out for an extended period of time for this movie.
I'm used to being picked up in my detective.
Yeah.
My detective's room.
And he actually... When he appeared on Perry Mason, Raymond Burr was on Perry Mason, and they both met up and talked about their different experiences filming these.
Really?
And Raymond was really happy that he only had to shoot for such a short time on a soundstage.
Yeah.
And Healy was, it's just talking about him, how annoyed he was having to actually go on location. Which is interesting because they're actors. I mean, they should be pumped to be on location filming.
That's so weird. Movie. That's the weirdest mindset.
Yeah, it's strange, eh? The other thing, and this is something that I noticed about this movie, is that Akira Ifukube's score is pretty much completely deleted from this.
Yeah, so I noticed in the not very few, because there are actually quite a few, in scenes throughout the movie, there are a lot of cuts, and it's very noticeable that the music cuts in and out whenever they do those.
Yeah, and you actually hear some moments, you can hear the old music behind some dialogue sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just real briefly. But they tried to take as much out of it as they could. And a music editor called Peter Zeiner was brought
name.
In. Yeah, man. Zeiner was brought in.
Wait, Pete Designer?
Peter Zeiner. Peter Zeiner. That's good. They brought Zeiner on board because he was known for using a lot of public domain library tracks for movies.
Yeah,
and
a smart decision.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yep. So they used the scores, the well-known scores that you know and love from classics such as Teenage Caveman and The Amazing Colossal Man.
Brings me back to my good old days.
Yep. They brought the scores from those two movies over for Varan the Unbelievable. And interestingly enough, which we'll talk about again soon, Zeiner did the exact same thing for King Kong versus Godzilla. He was the same person brought on board to replace Akira Ifukube's really, really great scores. They're the highlights of most of these movies in the music, and just replace them with other stuff from other movies.
Well, that's why I felt so young watching both of these.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
You didn't know this, and I looked up on Wikipedia just before recording this. Ishiro Honda... the director for Varan, the original, didn't actually know that this remake was even made until 40 years later.
That's crazy.
And I don't think he liked it in the end as well.
I read a little bit up about like how the audience reaction to both of these Varans were.
Yeah.
And I mean, the original one people didn't really like when it was released in Japan, but this one specifically, people hated it. People thought it was terrible. Interestingly enough, though, this was the like version that if you grew up in America or if you're American during this time, this is the only thing you would have seen with Varan.
Yeah, because we had to see Varan on archive.org.
Yeah, it was an old ass version. This one, for some reason, looked better than our copy of Varan we watched from memory. And lastly, no one from the original crew is credited on this. It starts off with the new director and the new producer, and it doesn't even mention, doesn't even misspell Ishiro's name. It's just...
doesn't even misspell it.
He's not even credited.
It's gotten to the point where if we watch an Americanization, I'm specifically looking out for...
And Ishiro Honda, where is it? Anyway, that's Varan the Unbelievable. I think last time we rated this, we rated it with Baradagi masks.
Did we?
I think this time around, Obaki masks.
I don't know what I rated it before.
Yeah.
I'd probably give this the same treatment as the Half-Human remake, where because of the excessive cutting and the bunch of just American exposition that they brought into it, it made it a lot more boring than it needed to be. And a lot more... I still don't know why they think that Americans like this scientific language all the time.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 1.5.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. From memory, I gave the original Varan 2 stars out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
It just... massive drop in quality from everything that came before and even that we've watched up to this point when it comes to like a mainstream kaiju.
Mm-hmm.
But this one wasn't that much worse.
It's not like it's a hugely bad movie. I think just from seeing the original, which was...
yeah.
I don't know.
There was some scenes from the original I missed, like all the native tribe stuff and talking about this god, and it kind of seemed like a cult and it was real strange. I missed that. But then in some places, I think the pacing in this was a lot better and punchier and faster.
Yeah.
And like literally the last half an hour of this movie is just action with Varan.
Yeah.
So it kept me entertained, but it's badly made. The main guy sucks. Yeah. I'd probably give it 1.5 out of 5.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
It's not too much of a drop in quality from the one before it, but definitely watch that version if you can over this.
Yeah. Give me Steve Martin any day.
Steve Martin any day over James Bradley.
Who's your favorite character, real quick, Jason?
Who's my favorite character? I don't have one, dude.
That's fair.
Varan.
Yep. Cool. That's all we need.
Yeah. So next up, we have King Kong versus Godzilla, but not the version you may think. We have the Americanization that was released a year later, 1963, and this time around directed by Tom Montgomery.
Tom Montgomery. So is it the same name?
Same exact name, just a year later.
Now, Jason, give me the quickest rundown of what happened in the original.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
There's a pharmaceutical company that want a mascot to be able to sell their new amazing berry supplement that they've invented.
Amazing.
And this dude, Mr. Taco, who runs the company, wants a mascot for it, so he sends some guys to an island to get this god they've heard about. They end up finding King Kong, bringing him back to Tokyo. Meanwhile, Godzilla's thawing out of the ice because of, gosh, I don't know, climate change, and he attacks a submarine, goes home to Tokyo, and they want to try and stop him. So eventually, King Kong escapes, he goes up and fights Godzilla, they have a couple of battles. Godzilla wins the first one. King Kong retreats. Then King Kong goes on a rampage, kind of grabs a girl, goes up a building. They put him to sleep.
They tranquilize him,
pull him up in the air with balloons, drop him next to Godzilla, and they fight. Both fall into the water, and King Kong survives.
Great. All of that is surprisingly still in this remake.
Yeah.
Which I liked. It's not like they cut everything out.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different to Varan, which is literally 45 minutes new footage. This is probably like under 10 minutes new footage all up.
Probably around 10-ish, yeah. So what they ended up adding to this movie was, again, it's just a lot of exposition, but it's done a lot better. So it starts off with an American news anchor.
Yeah, man. Eric Carter.
Eric Carter.
Played by Michael Keith.
Let's go.
Another classic name. I've realized these Americanizations love naming their main characters two first names. You got Steve Martin.
Yeah.
You got James Bradley. And you got Eric Carter.
I think that's the way to go.
Classic. It's America's
classic. Yeah, we start off with Eric Carter, who's basically giving us the rundown of things that were left a little in the air, which were a few unanswered questions in the original. Talks about the effects and the berries that were on the island where King Kong was, explains those a little bit, explains a little bit of why Godzilla is thawing out.
Yeah.
Gives us a bit of a backstory about Kong, the god on the island.
And he's a news reporter, right? Like, we're supposed to understand that we're seeing clips from a live news show, and he's the reporter.
Yep. And he's live on the air with another news anchor from Japan.
Yep.
Do you have a name for him?
Or? Yeah, it's Yutaka Omura, played by James Yagi.
Yeah. And those two, along with Dr. Arnold Johnson, played by Harry Holcomb, those three are kind of trio of new American actors. Basically just giving us the rundown as the story goes on.
It literally just cuts to them every 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And we get a quick clip of them saying, okay, this is exactly what's happening. This is what happened in the scenes that we removed from the original. This is what you just saw, but explained in real simple terms. Hey, we've got this doctor here to talk about King Kong and Godzilla and why they're returning to Tokyo or fighting each other.
Yeah, some of the best scenes come from when this doctor shows up on the set of this news stage. He's talking about, like, the good old ancestry of Godzilla and King Kong, who he apparently
Somehow knows about?
Yeah, knows that he gets electric powers.
Knows that from thunderstorms. The red berries apparently grew him so big.
This dude is so smart.
He pulls out a marble.
Yeah, this is the one scene that I hated so much in this movie.
And he's like, well, I have to show you this. This marble literally is the size of Godzilla's brain.
How do they know that? I don't know.
And then this ape skull is pretty much Kong's head, but like times it by 10 times or however big Kong is. So Kong's a lot smarter than Godzilla. He's got a little marble brain. So Kong's the superior monster pretty much.
Yeah, they say that Godzilla is brute force. Kong is the brains. And that's why they're naturally like destined to go up against each other.
How does he have the brain the size of a marble? Imagine how his head, like the insides of his head looks. If he's just got a tiny little marble brain.
Biologically, that makes no sense. I hated it. They basically just called Godzilla pea brain and moved on.
Yeah, they just called him stupid. He's a monster. His only reason is to destroy. Kong's a smart guy, you know? We need
and
his
yet,
help.
Kong literally would not win in this movie if it wasn't for his lightning powers, which resurrect him after being killed by Godzilla.
To be honest, for Godzilla, who's just brute force and destruction, Kong does a lot more destruction in this than Godzilla does. He's running over buildings, as we said before. He's climbing up things and sitting on them.
Yeah, for a smart creature, why is he grabbing a girl and standing with her on a tower for 10 minutes straight?
I think he literally killed more people than Godzilla because he pulls up a train off train tracks. And we cut to seeing people literally falling from this train, which is held up hundreds and hundreds of feet in the air.
Yeah. People are dead.
Yeah, they're 100% dead.
Whereas Godzilla goes and attacks an army base.
Yep.
Which are shooting at him, so he's got a valid reason.
Yeah, totally.
And that's it.
And then he just goes into the wilderness. He's just he's climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, a lot of their theories and little exposition they add in this. Some of it's okay, a lot of it's just real dumb. A lot of it's what we already know, and a lot of it's just making what we know even worse.
It felt like I was watching a National Geographic. They're always like, so this is where Godzilla is right now, and 50 miles to the east is this island.
Literally.
And there's 20,000 nautical...
90% of these new scenes are literally just cutting to people pointing at a map and being like, this monster's here, this monster's here. Wow, back to you. It's just... Unnecessary. And they always come at the worst times. Like Godzilla will just start attacking something, and then we cut to these guys. It's like, why couldn't you do this in the middle of a boring dialogue scene earlier?
So these added scenes aren't the only thing they changed. Because they added in these scenes, which made up a lot of time, they had to cut some scenes back.
Yeah.
So they changed some of this dialogue to extrapolate on what's been happening in the scenes that we've missed.
Yeah.
And they also just give the dialogue a recall overall as well.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the... I guess it's funny because it seems like they've taken out a lot of the real comedic and almost childish elements of the original.
Yep, such as like Taco, the head of the pharmaceutical company.
Yeah.
He was made as like the wackiest, hot-tempered leader ever.
Caricature, yeah.
They take out like 3/4 of his scenes.
Yeah, they kind of, he still has some weird funny scenes, but he's more of a believable person. Believable
Much more believable.
This time around.
Yeah. Yeah, well, while they take out some of those comedic scenes from the original cast, they changed the dialogue to heavily make some characters much more comedic.
Yeah.
Like we had our two reporters from the pharmaceutical company who were going out to this island to see Kong. They were kind of forgettable characters in the original, I found.
Yeah, they were kind of samey. Like, they were both kind of the same person.
In this one, they have made one of them, which they, I believe, renamed Sakurai, much more of a protagonist, much more of a leader.
He's a hero.
Made him more confident, more of a hero. And they made the other guy much more of a very, very cowardly sidekick.
Super annoying as well. He's always complaining about his corns, which I have no clue. What are corns? He's running through the forest. He's like, my corns. They're so sore, man. My corns.
I don't understand it because there are these quips about corns, which takes up like a good 2 minutes of the movie. I don't know what dialogue they replaced.
Apparently, I looked it up and they replaced like this discussion they were having about, oh, did you hear Godzilla's heading to Japan while we're here with Kong? Maybe they'll use them to fight each other or something.
I like this better because this guy's always just like, something's wrong, I can feel it in my corns.
What are corns? Are they kind of just like calluses on your feet?
Looked up for a solid 10 minutes afterwards, looking on like Urban Dictionary for corns. I went through so many pages of Google. I have no clue what corns means.
I've heard it before. I think
in my corns. I don't know.
I feel it in my corns. I think it's just like a callus or a part on your foot that's swollen.
Why can I feel it in my corns then?
He's got swollen feet and he just wants us to hear about it. Yeah, that was a weird addition. Entertaining.
That's probably my favorite part of the movie. Through my corn search, I looked up on YouTube.
What?
I looked up Godzilla corns.
Okay.
So I wanted to see somebody explaining it. The first thing that pops up is a video called My Corns.
What?
From this movie. And it's literally just a scene from the English version. It's got 800-ish views. And it's just all making jokes about these corns. And nobody has any clue what it means. And then there's one comment that says, stop it, you're not Tarzan.
Which is a quote they say in this movie to the guy with his extra strong thread.
Oh, what was it?
Strong as steel, smooth as silk.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not Tarzan. Oh,
he's
man.
He's not Tarzan.
I mean, similar to how I appreciated Varan a lot more, rewatching Varan the Unbelievable, actually, the Godzilla design's grown on me a little bit. I kind of like the way he looks. He's bulky. I like the spikes on his back. He looks cool. But you know whose design didn't grow on me? Kong's. I literally, whenever it goes in for a close-up of his face, he just looks like the stupidest marble brain-sized monster to ever exist.
I thought that, because I know this is like Godzilla's third appearance, so they've done a few reduxes with his design. I thought that Kong's design would have been like brought up and, I don't know, upgraded a bit to be on par with Godzilla's. But it seems like they've made just a paper mache mask. All the close-up, I hate his eyes so much because they look so badly painted.
Yeah.
I don't know why they passed this. This does not seem up to scratch.
And there's different masks. Like, it cuts between... Yeah. His face changes from one scene to the next because there's different costumes.
His body changes one scene.
Yeah, it's just... It's crazy. I don't really like Kong.
No.
We'll see what happens when he comes back into things, but yeah.
Kong was worse. Godzilla was better.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a movie that's all in all worse, you kind of pick up those little gems that are still good.
I don't know. I think I enjoyed this a little better.
Did you really?
Yeah. I found, I don't know, the dialogue and the explanation of some things just made it a bit more enjoyable, a bit more...
Because I think you said the same thing about Gigantus the Fire Monster, that you appreciated the script better than the original, or you like the story.
I really like the changes they do to the script.
Wow.
Not really worrying about like the added scenes and all the new footage. I really like, and I think I saw something about it, but I think the people looking after the dialogue in this new movie really didn't like the original, and they just gave it a full redo over.
Yeah, they really didn't want to make it as comedic as the original one was, lose that whimsical, goofy tone.
Mm.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't really like the script changes. I think it missed out and it cut a lot of scenes that I really loved. I guess it's not really the script. The script was okay, but the loss of a few scenes I really hated.
Yeah.
The main character, or one of the reporters that goes to the island, early in the original King Kong vs. Godzilla, we see him filling in for someone and playing drums for a pharmaceutical ad. Yeah. And it's a callback to later on in the movie when he needs to play a drum to calm Kong down.
Yeah.
And that scene of him playing drums at the start's completely cut.
Yeah, it doesn't give you the kind of backstory that they need for that scene.
There's a few other scenes, like when he goes to visit his sister for dinner. His sister's like making out with her boyfriend in the back, and there's this awkward scene when he's coming out and he's like, what are you doing? What are you guys up to? And a lot of that back and forth has been completely cut from this. So the characters as a whole aren't as interesting as they were.
No, but I think that's why they took out a lot of the scenes that didn't really have super duper duper relevance to the story, but they made the characters better.
Yeah.
And without those, the characters, all that's left to make them shine is the do-over and the dialogue.
Mm.
Which I still would have liked to see some of that. Some of those extra scenes to flesh out the characters a little more.
But to be honest, now that I'm thinking about it, you are right. Like, they didn't do a bad job with adapting the story and filling in the spots that they needed to with the missing footage.
No.
And, they did make some characters a bit more likable, which was funny.
Oh my gosh, you know who they made more likable? So there's a little scene near the start of the movie where the American submarine...
Yeah.
The whole reason that Godzilla gets out of the iceberg is because of the global warming.
Yeah.
And because these American naval?
Yeah.
Naval soldiers...
Just crash Seahawk.
On the Seahawk submarine. Just crash into Godzilla's iceberg.
Yeah.
Originally, the whole entire scene was done in English because it was a US submarine.
Yeah.
But they dubbed over every single one of these guys.
Yeah.
Which I really loved, because in the original, the captain of the Seahawk was the most monotone, dull, boring, stupid captain.
You think he was improved at this?
Well, they just gave him like the stereotypical, like, yes, I'm a leader, I know exactly what I'm doing. Straightforward. Kind of like the James T. Kirk voice.
Yeah, that's great.
Whereas originally he was like, what's the submarine doing? Look over there. What's that radiation from that iceberg?
Yeah. No, you're right, yeah.
I don't know if it was better or worse, but
it was a change. I do actually have a lot of trivia for this.
Oh, let's do it.
So I'll get through some of it. Interestingly enough, the original version of this movie, the one that we watched last episode, has rarely been seen. The Japanese version, no one's really seen it.
Rarely been seen.
Yeah, it wasn't made available in the United States until 2019, when the Criterion Collection released it as part of their box set. So this King Kong vs. Godzilla is what majority of people have watched, more so than the Japanese version. The Japanese version has been very hard to find. Uh-huh. It's always kind of just been this thing that's been rumored of what's different about it. Who knows? Until it's now been made public to everyone.
So you're saying that majority of people would know what corns are?
Majority of people have seen this corn joke, that have seen King Kong vs. Godzilla.
Weird.
Which is super weird to realize. This version, again, it changed out a lot of the sound. It used a lot of the soundtrack from Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, that's a famous movie,
isn't it? Which is real famous, yeah, Universal Monsters movie about this green creature.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they use a lot of the sound cues from that, replacing Akira Ifukube's score once again.
Another thing they did with the sound real quick is they ended off the movie last time with Godzilla's roar.
Yeah.
After Kong swims away, kind of hinting that he might be alive, they changed that to Kong's roar, so we really have no clue what Godzilla's up to now.
Yeah, and that was a huge cause for debate among like the Godzilla fandom at the time, because there was rumors that the Japanese ending actually had Godzilla win it, or a different outcome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Whereas this ending was specifically Kong won it. And there was talks of, apart from the original Japanese version and this Americanization, that Toho edited together another version to show it in different countries. And there was all this talk about different versions
existing. Oh, that's cool, like an urban myth.
Yeah, with different outcomes. But now that we can watch the Japanese version, it's still quite clear that Kong is the victor.
Yeah, the only difference is Godzilla's roar.
A little tease, yeah.
Which still doesn't really confirm or deny whether he dies or not.
Yeah, but it was, again, an interesting change. They made more of a point. America, they know more about King Kong than Godzilla. King Kong's the only victor. Yeah. I'm not even going to tease Godzilla here. Something I found out after watching this one as well, which I should have known from the original, but the giant octopus, which again looks great.
Great kaiju.
It actually has an official name. It's not known as giant octopus as a Toho monster. Its official name is Odako. O-D-A-K-O.
Odako, okay.
Odako. So that's what it's known as. That's what it will be referred to, I guess, when he pops back up again. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that dude.
Odako. That scene still holds up.
Yeah,
that's a really cool fight.
Another just interesting throwaway fact that Fumiko, the leading lady in this, she's still in it a little bit.
Yes.
She is the only dark-haired woman Kong has ever fallen for. In every other form of media or movie,
are they all blondes?
They're all blondes.
That's
she's gone down as history, you know? She got Kong to fall for her and she wasn't blonde.
So you're saying Kong usually has a type?
Yeah, he usually does. This kind of subverted that. Okay. Only other things I've got here is what we've already talked about, that they deleted a lot of the comedic scenes with Mr. Taco's storyline. In the original, he's wanting, or his whole motivation for getting Kong is to use him to generate publicity and to use him on their ad campaigns.
Yeah, he's going to fight Godzilla, who's popular at the time, and he's going to win.
Yeah, but even before that, he goes to Faroe Island to get Kong just for their ads, before they even know about Godzilla, to try and best the other ad companies. And in this one, it is more of what you said. They've taken away all that stuff about him competing against different pharmaceuticals. Yeah. And he's literally just going, he wants his own monster to fight.
He wants a mascot, yeah.
That's what he wants. Yeah, and then the last thing, which is interesting. You ready? 2 minutes of this movie is footage taken from The Mysterians.
Hold up.
So,
boy, I'm trying to think.
Can you guess kind of what in this?
Yeah, yeah. So one of the weird additions we found to this movie was with the new added Americanization scenes. The news hosts in both Japan and America, they're talking to each other, and they make a big point of showing that they're talking to each other through the, there's a name for it, it's like a communication satellite.
Yeah.
They do a lot of shots on this. Why is that?
So there's that?
Is there more?
There's more scenes from Mysterians. I don't know why, but they went to this so many times for different cutaways and fill-in shots, but there's shots when Godzilla's attacking the Arctic base of a fire or a forest fire. That's all taken from the fire in Mysterians
that initially started.
There's a few bits when Godzilla's falling into the pit called Operation Burial in this.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a landslide. That's from a landslide when the aliens are attacking or Mogera's attacking in the Mysterians. And there's just more things. Evacuating civilians is from Mysterians. Water is from Mysterians. Massive column of water when Godzilla and Kong fall into the sea, apparently. And there's a huge earthquake sequence at the end.
Yeah.
When you see like towns getting consumed by the earth. And that's all from Mysterians well. So they want it to kind of up the violence in this movie from what the original Japanese King Kong versus Godzilla looked like, just a few little bits of destruction.
That's cool.
Because make it look huge.
Yeah, as well as making it feel a little bit more violent and a little bit more high stakes, it kind of solidifies this as part of like a little bit of a wider universe.
Yeah.
It brings a connection between those movies, which I really like.
Yeah. That's about it. I can't even remember what we rated King Kong versus Godzilla, and it was last episode. Oh, it was the
It was super... 2.5. Both? Oh, I don't know if it was both of us.
I read it 3 out of 5 last
Did
time.
You?
Yeah.
I think I gave it a 2.5 because it was a okay King Kong movie, but a bad Godzilla movie. I think this brings back a bit more of that Godzilla vibe.
You do?
Yeah.
What would you give this one? And remember, we'll keep with the same strong as steel, smooth as silk.
Oh, I thought we were going to do... What did I think we were going
to
do?
Corns? You want me to do corns?
Can we read with corns?
Okay, how many corns... Oh, no. How many corns would you give King Kong versus Godzilla in 1963, Micah?
Okay, if I gave the last one a 2.5, I'll give this one a 3. I'll bump it up a little
you
bit.
You think this is better?
I think this is better.
That is interesting. I would probably give this 2 corns out of 5.
You're bringing it down from 3 to 2?
Yeah, I'm bumping it a whole star.
But the corns!
I don't care about the corns. The cutaways to the news reporters just really took me out of it. They were so unnecessary. Yep. They were treating us like we were dumb as viewers, just needing to explain it all.
However, I will butt in there. We were confused at a lot of the points they made while watching it the first time.
Yeah, they did.
They explain things that were up in the air.
They did spell a lot of things out that could have used a bit more explanation initially, but I don't mind a little bit of mystery and a little bit of things that aren't explained.
That's true.
And this one just was completely the opposite direction, explaining it too much, cutting away to these guys too much, explaining exactly where they're traveling to on the map.
Yeah.
I don't need to know that.
We don't need to know that.
Just show us it. And yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the script and the scenes they took away, but it was okay. It was watchable. It was better than the Varan Americanization.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was King Kong versus Godzilla.
King Kong.
1963. I would recommend you watch the Japanese version if you get your hands on it.
I'd recommend watching the American version.
Which is interesting. I mean, would love to hear what version you have watched if you've yeah. seen this.
If you're from America, let us know if you haven't seen.
Yeah, if you grew up watching this, or yeah. It'll be very interesting to.
If you know about the corns, please tell us.
No, if you uploaded that YouTube video, would love to get in touch. Oh,
special,
man.
Special guest.
Star. Special guest. The creator of the corns. Oh, no.
All right, JJ. So what's up for next time?
Next episode, we've actually got a special guest joining us. Oh. That's going to be a little surprise until they jump on the show, but we're really looking forward to it. And we're going to be covering Matango.
Matango.
It's a movie directed by Shiro Honda.
About dancing kaiju.
Matango.
Oh, that's a film I need to see now.
It's not dancing kaiju, unfortunately. It's killer mushroom people.
That doesn't sound half bad.
So, yeah, apparently it's got more of a horror tone to it than all the other stuff up to this point.
Okay.
And is a little more dark and violent. So, yeah, I'm kind of hanging out for it.
And it's still connected to the Godzilla universe?
It is, and we'll go into that next episode. Yeah, you'll find out how this all connects up.
I'm looking forward to it, dude.
But that's us for this week, guys. If you could leave us a review or a rating on wherever you're listening to us.
Do it.
That helps us out a ton. We'd really appreciate it. And yeah, find us on socials, Podzilla Pod.
Podzilla Pod.
Podzilla Pod.
And remember, kids.
Check your water, you know? You don't know what's in there. You don't know if there's a monster. You really should look at kind of where you're getting your drinking water from and if it's been desalinized.
Desalination.
Yeah.
I don't know. If anything's been in your water, talk to Hokkaido Pharmaceuticals about it. I know Kong will get you in touch with the best medicine.
Kong's got you sorted. These movies are crazy. Let's Matango in a fortnight. We'll see you guys there.
Matango, woo!
You've been listening to Podzilla with your hosts, Jaysha and Micah Drake.
Be sure to follow our socials, join our Discord, and check out Cassie Celine, who did our amazing podcast art. The links are all in our show notes.
And just a disclaimer that any musical sound effects used in this episode belong entirely to the Toho Company.
See you in 2 weeks.